30th December 1991. We'll continue our Dhamma talk on practical exercise on mindfulness meditation. When you sit for meditation, as soon as you sit for meditation, or as soon as you have settled down yourself on your seat very well, you should keep your body straight, erect. The head and neck also must be kept in a straight position. Then focus your mind on the movement of the abdomen. When the abdomen rises, observe it very precisely. Make a mental note rising. Observing here means knowing the movement of the foot. The movement of the abdomen. Very precisely and closely. Knowing and observing the movement of the rising movement of the abdomen. Make a mental note rising when it falls back. Then follow the movement of falling movement of the abdomen with your mind very closely. Precisely, a note falling in this way, rising, falling. I repeat this point because some of our meditators get puzzled as to be mindful of the abdominal movement. The rising movement is caused by one element, vayu-dhatu. The falling movement is also caused by the one element, vayu-dhatu. To realize the movement of a rising process, the movement of falling process, we have to observe it as it really occurs. But this is just a primary object of meditation. While you are engaged in it, you may hear some sound or voice, sharp or loud. Then you have to observe it, make a mental note, hearing. When you smell some scent or odor, you should note smelling, observing the consciousness of smelling. Seeing and visible object means consciousness of seeing. When we make a mental note, seeing, 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 then we observe the consciousness of seeing the object. The eye doesn't see the object. The person doesn't see the object. What does see the object is the consciousness. Without consciousness, the eye cannot see the object, the person cannot see the object. Suppose we have the dead body of a person here lying down on the floor. Then we will show a piece of a paper for him to look at it. We will show the paper against his eyes. He has eyes. He's a dead person. Or the dead body, but a person. But he can't see the paper. His eye doesn't see, can't see the paper. Why? Because he has no mentality. If he has mind, the consciousness that rises at that moment, see the piece of a paper. So when we see an object, we observe the consciousness of seeing. We make a mental note, seeing, 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 seeing. Mental note or labeling is not very much important, but in the beginning of the practice, it helps the mind to concentrate on the object of meditation. That's why we have to use it. This labeling or noting is called Tajja Panyati in Pali. Tajja Panyati. Tajja Panyati means conventional usage, which is suitable to see the object, or which enables the consciousness to see the object. So this is a conventional usage, Tajja Panyati. Though it's not very much important, it helps the mind to concentrate on the object of meditation very well in the beginning of the practice. That's why we have to use this labeling or noting. What is important is to be aware of the object which is arising at that moment. So when we see an object. What really exists at that moment is the consciousness of seeing. So the consciousness of seeing must be aware of, mindful of, as it really occurs. To be able to be aware of the consciousness of seeing very well, we have to make a mental note: seeing, 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 seeing. This labeling, noting, helps the mind to concentrate on the consciousness of seeing. Then here we find the two aspects in this vipassana meditation. The first is knowing or being mindful of, being aware of the object as it is. The second is the labeling or the noting. The noting helps the mind to know the object very well. But when your meditational experience is in advanced stage, your concentration is extremely good. Even though you sent the mind out to any other, any desirable object or pleasant object, the mind doesn't go out. It stays with the object of a meditation. And such a state of a concentrated mind, you need not use labeling or noting, but just be aware of the object, what is it that's arising at that moment. But sometimes we find the mind, the noting mind, without labeling or noting, doesn't stay with the object very deeply and attentively, and it doesn't penetrate into the object. Then the labeling or noting helps the mind to penetrate into the object of meditation very deeply. In such a case, labeling or noting is very much beneficial for meditator to have a deep concentration of a mind into the object of meditation. That's why we have to use a labeling or noting. Then when you hear some sound or voice, sharp or loud, you should know the consciousness of hearing, observe it, make a mental note as hearing, 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 hearing. Observing the consciousness of hearing is produce great benefit to destroy all mental defilements and hindrances. Later on, I may be able to explain to how this is noting or observing of the consciousness of seeing, hearing enable a meditator's mind to come to destroy all mental defilements. The Lord Buddha expounded many discourses regarding the observing consciousness of seeing, consciousness of hearing, consciousness of tasting, consciousness of smelling, consciousness of touching, and thinking, consciousness of thinking. When you observe whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you taste, whatever you touched, whatever you thought, think about, is called Indriya Samvara. Indriya Samvara. Indriya here means six kinds of sense bases. That is eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. These six are called indriyas. Six sense bases. These six bases must be closed by being mindful of the consciousness of seeing, consciousness of hearing, consciousness of smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. So samvara means closing the door. Here door means sense doors. That's eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. These are known as doors through which mental states, especially mental defilements, comes into the mind. So they are called doors, six sense doors. If you are mindful of whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you smell, whatever you taste, whatever you touch, whatever you think about, then these six doors are closed. None of mental defilements get into the mind through these doors, because the doors are closed. These doors are closed with mindfulness. That's why you have to be mindful of whenever you see something, whenever you hear something, whenever you smell something, whenever you taste something, whenever you touch something, whenever you think about something. If the mindfulness becomes strong enough, none of the mental defilements, undesirable mental impurity, cannot come into the mind through these doors. The doors are closed with the mindfulness. So this is called Indriya Samvara. Indriya Samasa. We can say closing of a six sense doors. By being mindful of whatever arises, regarding the eye, the nose, the voice, or the sound, and so on. So, when we say, you must be mindful of the consciousness of seeing, when you see any object, make a mental note, seeing. You may not be able to understand what the purpose of this noting of the consciousness of seeing. But when you have experienced it, by being mindful of a consciousness of a seeing, you come to understand how deep this awareness of a consciousness of a seeing is. So, while you are sitting, when you hear some sound or voice, you should note hearing. When you see something, you note seeing. While you are sitting, you have to close your eyes. Then, how could you see any object with the eye closed? Can you see any object with the eye closed while you are sitting? Now, please close your eyes and then look at me with a closed eye. Could you see me? Eh? No. Yes. You cannot see me with your eyes, but you can see me in your mind. Is there? Yes. That consciousness of seeing also must be noted. Seeing until that image has disappeared. Only after it has disappeared you return to the primary object, note as usual. Then when you smell any scent or odor, you should note smelling. When you taste any food, tasting, bitter, or hot, and also sour, and so on. By the way, let me ask you, when you touch the fire, you feel cold or hot? Hot. When you touch the chili, when you touch a chili, what did you feel? When you touch chili, did you feel hot or cold? Do you feel hot or cold? Huh? No. Then when you taste it, what do you feel? Hot. Yes. You have had any other word for being hot about chili in English? Any other word except hot? Huh? Make a button? Burning. Burning is it hot, very hot. Burning. Yes. Do you think the feeling of the fire and also tasting of the chili is it the same the same feeling? Do you think is it the same feeling? No. Yes. In our Burmese language, there's a separate word for feeling of the hot about chili. We call it a sat te. When we taste chili, we say sat te. When we touch the fire, we say pure. Two different words. When it tastes chili, we say sate. When it touch the fire, we say pure. Do you remember? The two different language. In English, when you taste the chili, hot. When you touch the fire, hot. I want to know any other words except hot for chili. Burning also hot. It means hot. Yes. When you taste chili while you are taking your meal, then you should note hot, hot. So, what do you mean by that? When you taste chili, you note hot, hot, hot. What do you mean by noting hot? Closing of the doors. Closing of the doors. Closing of the door of a tank. And when you note hot, 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 later on when the concentration is good enough, you doesn't have an aversion to it. You doesn't like it. You neither like it nor dislike it, because you know just a feeling of a hot vessel. Then there's no aversion to it, no desire for it. Because there's no aversion, dosa, one of a mental defilement, doesn't come into the tongue or the mind through the door of the tongue. Then desire, lobha, doesn't come into the mind through the door of the tongue. That is the value of a noting of the taste. So it means a closing of the door. This word Indriya Samvara is very, very abundantly used by the Buddha in his almost all discourses, because it's very much important to close the doors. And could you close the doors? Could you close doors? The six doors? You don't know. Very easy. Yes. When you see note, seeing, then when you hear something, notes, hearing, that's the closing of the door. I think now you come to understand how to close the door. Huh? Yes. Very, very much important to close the door. If you do not close the door by being mindful of what is happening at the moment, then a great deal of mental defilements come into the mind. And the mind becomes a defiled lot. Then you become suffer. Then that's why we have to note whatever we hear, whatever we smell, whatever we taste, whatever we touched, whatever we think about, so that no defilement, mental defilement comes into the mind and makes the mind defiled. But sometimes some of our yogis, though they are closing their eyes while they are sitting, they see some visual object, visible object, not in mind but with the eyes. While he is sitting, he often opens his eyes. Then this meditator can see the object which is the eyes. Huh? Yes, especially to look at watch. Especially to look at watch. One of my meditation student, he is a monk, Westerner. He was ordained in 1979. He was ordained. He's still a monk. He has been practicing Vipassana meditation very long time. But when he sits meditation, place a watch in front of him. About 20 minutes meditation, after 20 minutes meditation, he opens it and then look at the watch. Then again, close it and meditating. And about 50 minutes, after 50 minutes, then again, open the eyes, close the watch. And in our sitting, I think he may open his eyes about 6 times. He can see the object with his eyes. How do you think? Can he attain deep concentration and clear insight? Can he attain deep concentration and clear insight? No, not at all. He has been practicing meditation many, many years.
he hasn't attained anything. So what I mean is that, and as sitting, do not open your eyes even once. How much desire you have to open the eyes. You must note that desire. Desire. Until it has disappeared. When the desire has disappeared, you won't open your eyes. If you open your eyes, then the mind goes with the eyes. A concentration. What happened to concentration? Breaks. Concentration breaks. Then when the concentration very often is broken, then can this concentration be deep or good? It can be can be deep. Then it can be good. So, do not open your eyes even once in a sitting. As long as you are in sitting posture, you must not open your eyes, close your eyes, focus the mind on any mental or physical process which is arising at the moment. Then again, though you do not open your eyes in sitting, sometimes some of the meditator moves his body or his leg or his hand as if unconsciously. Actually, it's consciously done. Say, sitting. Then he lifted, rubbed that, then put it down. He is not aware of it. He is not aware of it. But his mind knows it. Sometimes the hands put here, and again put here, and sometimes put here, sometimes like this. Can he attain deep concentration? No. Because he moves his hand and legs here and there, it means his mind is not stable. It's distracted and becomes restless. That's why he moves the hand. So, you must not move your hands and limbs while you are sitting. You try to be like this Buddha statue, sitting still and quiet without moving. When you are able to sit in a very quiet position, very still position, then it helps your mind concentrate well on the object of meditation. So try to sit still, quiet, without moving any limb or body. But there's an exception. Even though you sit, keeping the body straight, the head and the neck straight, then the body gradually bends down because your mental effort is weak. In other words, you do not note the object very attentively, energetically enough. So mental effort becomes weak. Then the body becomes slim. Then slimy body must be straightening up. If you stay in this position, slim position, you can feel the abdominal movement very distinct, because the slamming body press the abdomen, so the abdomen becomes tight. It cannot move very freely. So you must straighten it up again. But first of all, you should know intention. Intention, then straightening. The movement of straightening must be very attentively observed. In this way, you may be able to note individual movement of a straightening up when your concentration is good enough. But if your mental effort is strenuous enough to know any object of meditation, the body can be kept straight all the time. When your effort becomes weak, then the body bent down sinks and slumps. So, you should always put strenuous effort, enough effort in the noting and the practice, in the noting. Then the noting mind becomes powerful and strong, so it can keep the body straight. So you should be careful that. If you are able to sit 45 minutes or 1 hour without changing position, you should not change the position after an hour's time. If you are not able to sit at least 40 or 45 minutes without changing position, if you feel the pain becomes unbearable, if you feel the pain unbearable, then you can change once in a sitting, only once. Then you must not change the position unmindfully. The changing acts must be observed very attentively and more and more detailed. Say, when you want to change the position, first of all, note intention. Then you will move the legs. Then moving. And you will move another leg, moving. And this way you have to observe all actions and movements involved in the act of changing position. After you have settled down again on your seat, then you should continue to note rising, falling, and so on. After 10 minutes meditation, if you feel to change your position second time because of the unbearable pain, you must not change it twice. You must not change the second time. Get up and practice a walking meditation that is more beneficial for you. Because if you change the position a second time, it's too much for you. The change of the position becomes a habitual. Then that habit comes along with you all the course of the meditation. Though you don't have any painful sensation, unpleasant physical sensation, because your meditational experience is an advanced stage. An advanced stage. You feel desire or tendency to change position because of that bad habit of a changing position. Then you unconsciously change the position at that time. Then the concentration breaks. So do not change position second time, but even once it's better not to change even once in a sitting. But when you are not satisfied with your mindfulness and concentration after 40 minutes meditation, after 30 minutes meditation or 40 minutes meditation, you may wish to continue sitting, so then you may change the position even position once in a sitting. But better not to change the position by being patient with the painful sensation, by observing it very attentively and closely and precisely. When your concentration on the painful sensation becomes deep enough, then you won't have any aversion to the pain, because you just feeling the pain, but you are not affected by the feeling of the pain, because of what you are realizing is the sensation of unpleasant physical phenomena. Unpleasant physical sensation is felt. So when you know that, when you realize that in that way, that the pain doesn't affect you, it doesn't disturb you, it doesn't annoy you, so then you can continue to sit, say 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes. When the pain is realized in a process of unpleasant physical sensation, to experience in that way, you should persistently and perseveringly observe the pain very attentively, closely and precisely. But when the pain becomes unbearable because your concentration is weak, then you get up and walk, practice walking meditation, that's better. In the walking, the most important thing is your eyes. If you look around here and there while you are walking, you can never attain deep concentration in the walking meditation. So you should determine that I won't look around while I am in retreat. As long as I am retreat, I won't look around. When I say you must not look around while you are walking, practicing walking meditation back and forth, then you may hold that. We must not look around while we are walking practicing walking meditation, but when we go to dining hall, when we go to our room, when you come to meditation hall, we can look around. You may hold that. Then should you do that? No, because in this retreat there are many beautiful scenes around the retreat. Hills, grasses, trees, kangaroos and rabbits. And when you think you could look around when you are going somewhere, then you would look, get these the very beautiful scene, and also enjoy it. Enjoyment is one of the mental defilements. Yes. It means lobha, desire, enjoyment. So we are trying here, making utmost effort to destroy all mental defilements by being mindful of what is happening to our body and mind as it really is. But the enjoyment of the beautiful scene destroying all the aim of our meditation. Is it right? So should you enjoy the beautiful scene around that street tree? No. If you have a desire to enjoy it, what should you do? Note it. Note it. Desire, until the desire has disappeared. If desire has disappeared, you won't look wrong. So, in the walking meditation, in the beginning of the practice, you should note left and right about 10 minutes. It means when you move left foot, the movement of left foot must be noted, making mental note left. When you move the right foot forward, the movement of right foot must be noted as right, left, right, left, right. Noting is just helping the mind to concentrate on the movement of the foot. What's important is knowing the movement, being aware of the movement, being mindful of the movement is the important. So observing the movement of the foot, note left, right, about 10 minutes. And then, after 10 minutes of noting, you should note one more object, lifting, dropping. When you lift the foot, observe it, noting, lifting. When you drop it down, then observe it and make a mental note, dropping. In this way, lifting, dropping, about 10 minutes. After that, you should note lifting, pushing forward, and dropping. When the foot is lifted, observe it lifting. When the foot is pushed forward, observe it pushing. When the foot is dropped down, observe it dropping. Lifting, pushing, dropping, lifting, pushing, dropping. Three parts of a step must be noted, must be observed. Say about 20 minutes. After that, note lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing. When the foot is dropped, no dropping. When the foot touches the ground or the floor, touching. When you press the front foot to lift the other foot, then no pressing. After you have noted pressing, then you will have to note lifting. That's the very beginning of a lifting movement of the foot, the other foot, lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing. Until the end of a walking meditation. In this way, when you are able to note these parts of a step very well, then you should increase your noting. Say, when you lift the foot, when you lift the heel of the foot, observe it lifting. When you raise the toe also, then you note the raising. Lifting, raising, then pushing, dropping, touching, pressing. Then, when you are able to note all these parts of the steps very well, then you should note intention. Intention, lifting, raising, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, and so on. But you know yourself whether you are able to know all these parts of the steps very well. It depends on you. If you have to strain too much to be able to know all these parts of the steps, it's not correct. So Nora, you mustn't do that. You must reduce the object. Say lifting, pushing, dropping, touching. That's all. It depends on you. If you need not to strain too much to be aware of all these parts of a step, then you should do it. They also you can note intention lifting, intention raising, intention pushing, intention dropping, touching, intention pressing. Noting the intention before every movement. If you find the intention noted, if you do not find it, you do not note it. But you have to slow down. Your stepping should be very, very slow so that you can note all these intentions before every action. In the same way, some intention must be observed before some actions and movements while you are dealing with daily activities too. We have to observe the intention so that we can realize how this intention is related to the movement. In other words, to realize the relationship between the intention and the movement or the action that follows it. It's also very much important to realize this relationship. This relationship can destroy the idea of a person, a being, an atta. So by realizing the relationship between the intention and the action or movements that follows it, you can destroy personal nature or the idea of a person being individual and so on. That's why we have to observe the intention too. As you know, the principle of a vipassana meditation is to be mindful of, or to be aware of what is happening to your body and mind as it really occurs. That's the principle. So there's no mental states, no mental process, a physical process, which must not be observed, which must not be mindful of as it is. When a samatha meditator takes for sometimes it about 2 months or 3 months or 6 months to practice, he may attain very deep concentration by means of a samatha meditation. That deep concentration or the highest concentration is called jhana. This is also one of the mental states which must be observed as it is. But when you have a jhana, it's a very difficult to observe this jhana, because jhana is very much powerful for you. So when you observe it, you have